This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Now, we've had a rough couple of weeks of winter weather. Certainly, we've had rough winters in Michigan before. It's not all that new to us, but with the polar vortex we just went through, and this week's icy, snowy, and windy weather, it's worth posing the question, are these further indications of climate change or just part of a cyclical seasonal cycle that we've always experienced? My guest today is Dr. Richard Rood, and Dr. Rood is a professor of climate and space sciences and engineering at the University of Michigan, and thanks for joining us once again on 89.1 WEMU.
You're welcome, and thanks for asking me back.
Well, before we get into the specific details, what's the short answer? Climate change or cyclical weather?
It's a little bit of both. As you know, the weather does have cycles, and the weather has persistent periods of warm and cold. But I think at this point, there's so much warming going on, there's so many changes going on, it's difficult to say isolate it and say that, you know, this is just what our normal weather would have been without the climate, because there's so much energy in the atmosphere, so many changes happening. They influence every weather event and every weather pattern.
We keep reading about these massive ice melts at the poles, which indicates warmer global temperatures, to be certain. Does that melting ice so far away play into changing air temperature conditions in this continent and, of course, right here in southeast Michigan?
I think that the jury is still out on whether or not there's a direct effect. However, what is pretty clear at this point is we have all of this heat that needs to be transported up to the colder poles in order to bring it to equilibrium. That causes the melting at the poles, and it's reasonable to expect that there are feedbacks from those changes at the pole that would influence, say, the weather here in Michigan. One thing that is for certain is that heat and what's going on at the pole is helping to displace or push some of that polar air away from the polar regions, and when that cold air gets down to Michigan, it feels very cold.
Now, one of the last times you and I had occasion to talk was about 3 years ago. To my recollection, the last time one of these polar vortex hit our area. Is this something you think is going to become more common?
This is a question, actually, that I and my colleagues are working on within a program known as the Great Lakes Integrated Sciences and Assessment Team here in Michigan, because we are trying to imagine what the future is, future climate scenarios. And while there is being a displacement of this polar air, the actual amount of cold air, the area that cold air covers, is getting actually systematically smaller. And the air itself is not getting any colder because of sort of the limits of some of the physics here. So the actual amount of cold air is getting smaller, and it's really getting a bit more rare. And so I think what we're seeing is a sort of interesting problem of this air being more mobile and perhaps going places that it didn't frequent as much before, but there's less of it. So I think this idea of variability is what we need to be expecting, as opposed to, say, something that's like a systematic coldness. Because actually, when we look at the data, you know, we've had much colder extended periods in the past.
Well, you know what? Part of it is just kind of we take things in the moment, and then we kind of try and figure out how that affects us both in the short and the long term. So we've had this recent cold snap and spate of icy weather, but the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says this winter season, the 2018-29 winter season, could end up being the warmest on record. So for us lay people, how do we reconcile our perception with the actual reality?
Well, I think part of that reconciliation is realizing that what you see out your back door is not representative of the globe. And when these records start to come out, or when the observations start to come out, you know, next month of what this month looked like, I'm willing to bet that there will only be a small region of the globe that is actually quite cold, and that will probably be one of the places will be over the eastern part of North America. There might be another one a little bit over Siberia, but the amount of blue that will appear on that map as cold weather will be relatively small. So I think this becomes, you know, how representative is what an individual or a region has experienced to what is going on in the globe. So what we're seeing is we are the current population experiencing this relatively rarer and rarer cold weather.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking polar vortex, winter weather, and climate change with Dr. Richard Rood. Dr. Rood is a professor of climate and space sciences and engineering at the University of Michigan. Now, in addition to the Arctic Oscillation and the polar vortex from the north, we have things like El Niño and La Niña from the southern oscillation that impacts what we experience in Michigan as well, correct?
Absolutely.
So how does that all play in together when it hovers over the Great Lakes and the largest freshwater system? Are we experiencing something here that may be completely unique to the region?
You know, I don't actually really think so. I think that what we're seeing when you go back and bring in El Nino and the Southern Oscillation and bring in something that we're talking about more and more in our field, the Madden-Julian Oscillation, I think what you're seeing here is that that tropical energy is moving up here towards the pole. It's displacing that cold air away from the pole, and it's displacing it over towards Michigan. And so I think what we're seeing here is all these pieces playing together. But in the end, what is the most fundamental is that it's really heating up a lot and accumulating energy down in the tropics and the middle latitudes, and that energy has to be transported to the regions that are cooler just by simple balancing of thermal gradients and energy.
So while you study the impacts of climate and weather, let me ask you this. Are we falling behind on our ability to catch up and adapt to whatever may hit us over the next several decades?
I think in some instances we absolutely are. There are individuals, there are groups, and there are people out there who are thinking more and more about how to take advantage of this knowledge and this information and how to adapt. But I think especially if we look nationally and especially look at things going on along the coast, especially the east coast of the United States with sea level rise, we are definitely putting ourselves where we're going to have to be reacting to emergencies rather than anticipating and planning to deal with them in advance.
So how can we use the studies that you are conducting right now to create a better and more adaptable future for ourselves?
Well, for ourselves, and in fact, again, the organization I mentioned before, GLISO, we very specifically are looking at how cities, say, in the Great Lakes region can use this information better. An example that often comes is that, as you probably know, that we are seeing more precipitation occurring in very extreme storms, and this has a big impact on city drainage and city sewer systems. And so increasingly we're seeing cities thinking about as they design and rebuild their infrastructure, how do they do this better? And we work with cities, we work with indigenous tribes, we work with a variety of NGOs, and all of these organizations are starting to think about how to increase their resilience and how to be better prepared for climate change.
Well, I know how much scientists love to speculation, but if you could kind of use your crystal ball and tell us, are we going to be better off in 10 years than we are today because we are starting to accept what we have to do for the future, or are we going to fall that much further behind?
Well, I think that some, again, localities, some cities will actually be better off. And I think that what is going to happen is that those cities and those counties that start to use this information and plan, I believe that they will actually have a competitive benefit over those who do not. And what you will see is that, you know, some places that use this information will, in fact, be quite a bit better off. What is interesting to me is if you think about the Great Lakes region as a whole, you think about our water supply, our relatively mild temperatures, then we are at some level a climate winter compared to, say, those on the coast. So I'm personally would be anticipating migration of people into this region, which I think most people would consider to be good for the economy.
Well, that is something to look forward to. In the interim, we do have a planet to take care of, so we are going to have to continue and follow along the research that you do and put that all to work. And perhaps this Green New Deal that is winning so much media attention is something that we'll see move into the future.
Well, that would be exciting.
Dr. Rudali, we'll look forward to our next opportunity to talk again.
Okay, thank you.
That is Dr. Richard Rood. He is a professor of climate and space sciences and engineering at the University of Michigan. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, heard each Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.